Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into the DC Sports Live podcast, brought to you by Marlowe Furniture. Gary Skip Carter. I hate referring to myself in the third
person. You have to do it. Weird. It's part of what comes with the territory.
No, I know, but just weird. I know who I am, but I guess the people out there
they
listening
need to know who you are.
Exactly. Wes Hall. Wes, y'all.
Matt, you know what's so funny? It's equally as weird as it is for you to say your own name. It's equally weird for me to hear my name, but I've been hearing it for years and still like, oh, that's me.
So I like doing the Mr. Wes. Mr. Wes.
Mr. Wes.
Because, but I'm kind of like on a temporary
yours
boycott
is temporary.
Of a certain, well,
yours is temporary.
I'm waiting. Mine's, I want to get. I'm not trying to get
until further notice, and that's all.
Yeah, that's all we're gonna say. So we don't need, but we're on the same page.
Yes.
So big week in DC sports. Huge. Involving the Wizards.
Yeah,
the Wizards making their draft pick. We were all kind of disappointed when the lottery balls did not go their way. They were picking ninth. We're watching the draft last night. By the way, breaking news, shocking.
Mm.
Zion Williamson went first overall.
No, nobody really.
Kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's going to.
I don't know. This draft seemed like one where there really were no like big names in it. And I was just wondering like if there's going to be anybody that was just going to move to the forefront of everybody's mind. And this year just happened to be one where we were without that.
By the way, how cool. His reaction.
Tears.
No, I mean, he knew who's the number one pick back
so
in
what?
January.
It's real.
The fact of the emotion there was pretty cool to see.
It's the difference between a job offer and signing the contract and the paperwork with HR.
Sure.
It's like, oh, I got an offer. Right. Yay! But have you signed the paperwork? Yeah, and now it's official for him, and I'm glad for the kid. He looks like it really meant something to him and his mom.
And you know what's cool? I think the NBA did a great job inviting the parents back into the green room area for the first time this year, so you see that. You almost see like a... Not a human side, because obviously they're human.
But no.
But you
I
see
think
the
that's
emotional.
Actually, that's a qualified assessment. It is the humanity in it, because from the fans' side and from the spectators' perspective, oftentimes we forget that these are dudes.
These are dudes.
Or ladies,
dudes.
Whatever sport it
they're
is.
Kids.
They're kids.
They're
18,
kids.
19
right.
years old. Remember back when we were 18 and 19?
No, I wish.
Right. Like, I barely remember it. And if I were to even try to you know, speculate on my recollection, I would say that. Imagine having whatever your dream is come true.
Right.
And then know that it's not a one-moment thing. It's actually crossing a threshold to continue to live your dream.
And the rush of emotions, and you get to share it with the parents and the people who kind of brought you along on the journey was just pretty, pretty cool. And seeing that from him last night, knowing, obviously, what was happening.
I'm happy.
What was going to happen. Yeah. And I think he's going to do well when it's all said and done. So he goes one, Ja Morant goes two. No real surprises.
Except for the hats. That was a surprise. Like, can the NBA get this right?
Yeah, we have to fix this, right?
It's a simple solution. It's not that hard. Either you, A, move where you do the draft so that way it actually is in the new season.
Sure.
Or you allow the pending trades that already have occurred before that they've agreed to.
Right.
Put the kid in that hat. Or, third option, have a generic draft hat. It's the third option. I don't want it. That's why it's the third option.
Yeah.
But you give them a generic, you know, NBA draft 2019 hat, and then that way, no matter where they go, they've all got that.
No, that just still stinks. Because
you could do, you know what? You make it player exclusive, and then that way, it's one of those things where only the players who were drafted in that draft have it. Then you incentivize them to make it.
Well, here's the thing, too: the projected trades and all that stuff. They're never wrong. We know they're going to.
We know what's happening.
So it just stinks that. You know, although, you know, when
DeAndre
Hunter
in a Lakers hat.
Hey, tell me about the time you played with LeBron.
Well, technically, my name was associated, but then I got traded, and then that pick got traded.
Yeah.
So I ended up in Calcutta.
And no one else does it. They have to figure this out. And you know what? Adam Silver is cutting edge on a lot of things.
He'll get this right by next year.
I
I'm willing
bet
to get.
You he will get that. Because there's
2020 draft? Come on.
And it's weird. Is it me, or did it seem like there was a lot of, maybe because there were so many trades in the first round, but there was a lot of like pushback this year. It seems like people are like, oh, really? We got to do all this? They got to figure this out.
They've got to figure out how to tighten the window on the time between picks, because there is such, because first of all, when you look at the amount of time of teams that are not in the NBA playoffs and the amount of time that these coaches and GMs have time to scout the players, there really is no necessity in having so much time for each pick. You already know what you're going to do.
But keep in mind now, you don't know, you know when the draft's coming, but you don't know when the playoffs are going to end necessarily. So,
still, but how many teams does that influence when you're talking about the top half of the first round? Like, seriously.
So the new league year starts, what, July 1st?
July 1st.
June 30th, when they've got that weird moratorium and all that stuff. I don't want to wait another, you know, week and a half before we have to get to this point. So I like the fact that, you know, you have the finals, you get like a little bit of a break, and then NBA is still in the forefront, and you still get to. So I don't want like a 2 or 3 week break.
So then what if we say that the new NBA season starts a week after the finals are completed?
Can you do that?
You can do whatever you want to do. It's your league. I mean, if you're a commissioner and all the owners sign off on it in agreement, and the NFL and the Players Association agrees with it, yeah, you can shift it.
And you think that would, without having a concrete day, you don't think that's going to take away from?
I mean, everything else is in flux. It's not like, well, okay, yeah, you know, the 30th is the date, but I mean, yeah, you've got to create some degree of uniformity. And a week after the NBA Finals is done is not too chaotic. There's enough going on.
It is if it's a sweep, though, and all of a sudden you've got a, you know.
And you're a terrible team that's at the top of the lottery. You've had plenty of time to look at it. Like, you don't need to. Oh, my gosh. We don't have another 4 days.
So what you're saying, like, you don't feel sorry for Toronto and
no,
Golden State if they've got
no,
a cram
boo-hoo.
For the draft.
Boo-hoo.
Okay.
Sorry that you're winning another championship and there's
whatever,
a rafter, you know, banner going up in the rafters.
Okay.
Sorry that, you know, you've got to pick the 28th or 29th guy.
Okay. All right.
Fair.
Fair enough. So we'll get to the Wizards pick.
All right. Let's go. See, and that's the thing.
Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead.
The exhale. It's the exhale.
No, but I exhale because of you, because I know where you
know where this
Rui Hachimura.
Rarely am I so predictable.
From Gonzaga.
Rarely.
Go ahead.
All right.
The mic is yours, my friend.
I've calmed down since, you know, the first moment this happened.
Your initial reaction
was not pleasing.
And for the record, let's put this out
Nothing
to do with the kid himself.
Nothing to do with the kid. This young man is talented. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Great pedigree. Loves the game. Plays it the right way. Great motor. Love him. Nothing wrong with him.
Okay.
My grievance was the leading up to this.
Okay.
The fact that we had spent so many hours and so much work and had so many great discussions about the potential players that would be available, the opportunities that could bring to this team, knowing the condition of the Wizards as we speak. And I'm like, oh, man, Cam Reddish is available. Let's pull the trigger and get this kid in here. This is somebody that you want that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So what if he was the third wheel on a Duke team that was stacked with talent,
sure,
considering he was the first recruit to sign with them?
Sure.
And the fact that he really got overshadowed by a once-in-a-generation player. He didn't get overshadowed by RJ. He got overshadowed by Zion.
Sure.
So that's where the whole Cam thing came in. And, of course, his 35.8% field goal percentage is kind of something you got to pay attention to. But
okay,
whatever. So my grievance was, if Cam was available at 9, you take Cam. What hurt me was the fact that there was apparently no contact with Hachimura, and the fact that it kind of came out of nowhere.
Okay.
There's more to that. I'll probably unpack that as we go throughout the rest of the offseason at my other points of grievance. Most notably, I'll go ahead and tip the hat to this one. I was upset because I saw an opportunity. It made good basketball sense to put Cam Reddish on the court next to a Bradley Beal. That's what I felt.
Okay.
It's exciting. It's in the area. And I was looking at the rest of the division when I see Atlanta take DeAndre Hunter.
Sure.
Jackson Hayes.
Sure.
And that's before we get to Cam Reddish.
Okay.
Then we take Hachimura. Then they take Cam Reddish.
Sure.
Oh, and by the way, they grab Bruno Fernando, too. I'm just saying. So sorry if I'm looking at... Sorry if I've done my homework.
No, I get it.
And I'm like...
But
this is the
formula.
Here's
the thing. Who's to say that this kid isn't going to be really, really good?
But who's to say that he is going to be really, really good? The same amount of speculation you can give on one side of the coin, I can give to the other.
Sure.
So at some point, you got to make a choice.
Because if, you know what, if let's say Cam Reddish was the kid playing in Gonzaga.
Right.
And Rui was the one at Duke and lighting it up, we would,
again, it comes down to, we've talked about these young men and we've talked about their talent. We've scouted them out. We've had all our mock drafts and all that. And Hachimura's name came up one time in Ben Standing's early mock draft.
Hey.
One time.
Yes.
Out of, I think we counted this earlier, I think 25 that we did.
Sure.
One out of 25. So what? Let's do some math on that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it's nothing against him personally. It just felt like it came out of the blue. Now, I do understand the benefit of getting him. He's the face of an entire nation.
Sure.
I mean, if you pick Cam Reddish, you're going to probably get a 3% bump in your fan base because you're, you know, college basketball fans, you Duke people right up along the East Coast, the Atlantic. All right, fine.
Sure.
But Hachimura brings an entire country.
Sure.
So streaming's going to go up.
Sure.
Attendance from the Japanese contingency is going to go up.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
However, that's basketball, the business. I was thinking about basketball, the game.
But the kid can play, though.
I'm not saying he's trash. He can play. He can play. But
and,
at 6'8". But he's 6'8".
He's 6'8", with a 7'2 wingspan.
That's nice.
And by the way, he's just scratching the surface. He just picked up this game not too long ago.
But what's his upside, though? Have we seen the best of him thus far?
I don't know.
I mean, have we seen the best of Cam?
I, for his sake, given all the hype and everything, you would hope not.
Hope not.
But we don't know. That's,
right.
It's just such a... If the Wizards loved this kid from the beginning, I don't have a problem with them picking him when they did. It's almost hypocritical saying this, because remember when we gave the Giants so much credit taking Daniel Jones at
you
six,
and I sat right
and we
here
were right
talking
here, we were
about
like,
that.
Oh my God, I can't believe they
How
took
do you
him
do
six,
that?
Blah, blah, blah. But you know what? When it comes down to it, if you like the kid, pick him.
Here's what my grievance is.
Okay.
We know that there are things that are not solidified as of yet. They're still fluid, meaning the GM situation.
Mm-hmm.
John's pending health situation. When he's going to come back, we don't know what condition, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
I was thinking for this fan base, with all the things that they've been through over these past few years, yes, it was good to make the playoffs a couple years ago, and then, you know, the year before, we also did as well. They, and I'm going to try to speak for them respectfully, they were looking for a swing for the fences. Like a something that you can, you know, grab, you hop on Twitter and be like, oh my gosh, did you see what we did? This felt... In the moment, now, like I said, after the moment, I climbed back in my skin,
Okay. Calmed
down a little bit, and really started to think about it from a pragmatic standpoint. But it felt in the moment like a bunt to get on base. It felt super safe. That's how I felt in the moment.
Okay.
Now, like I said, have I backed away from that initial feeling of disappointment and some dejection? Yes.
Okay, let me pose this to you then.
Okay.
And this is something we talked about on the show in a different form. What will it take for you to change that narrative? So in other words, what would he have to do next year to take that from a bunt pick to a double or triple or home run? If he does blank, then you'd be like, okay.
All right, my blank's going to include an and automatically.
Sure.
First part of that is he's got to show me a motor. Defensively.
Okay.
An intensity that kind of mirrors as close as he can to Thomas Bryant, high energy kind of guy.
Sure.
Somebody that fills in the gaps, the things that you know, the intangibles, the hustle plays, rebounding, traps, high basketball IQ. I need to see that.
Okay.
And comes from the offensive end. If we're looking at a number 9 pick in the condition that the Wizards are in now,
sure.
I'm going to need at least 10, 12 points a game.
Next year. Okay.
I'm going to need 10 to 12.
That's fine.
Seven boards.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
That's reasonable.
So this just hit me as we were talking. So we were talking earlier. We talk about sports,
sports
all the time. We're not talking about music and movies. We're talking about sports. And this just hit me. And you brought up the point of, Cam Reddish has seen all the press clippings and how he was passed over. He's going to use that as motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This kid seems like he's pretty smart. I think he also sees, the Wizards reached for me at 9. You know what? I'm going to prove all these people wrong.
Because
he's got the game to do that, I think. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with the kid.
But I think you have to juxtapose that to the entirety of Japan saying, you're awesome. So
sure.
One team and some people that support that team have question marks around you versus an entire country
sure.
that says you're awesome. I'm going to be like, hey, for all those people who think I'm trash, whatever, I know who I am. I'm good. And I'm not saying trash. Because I get that.
And I mean, and we have not met him.
Right.
I don't think, again, unless you met him.
I have not met the young man yet. But he
doesn't.
Like a good kid.
He doesn't impress me as being the kind of guy that has that kind of attitude.
Yeah, he doesn't seem.
Mark Few talked to our Chris Miller and said his work ethic is unquestioned. He will be the first one there in the gym. So if you have that kind of work ethic, that desire, that love for basketball,
and that's the thing that was questioned about Cam.
I don't think you're going to have that from him.
That was the thing about Cam, was that, you know, his motor. And when people meant motor, they meant passion for the game. And I kind of get tired of hearing that argument. Because like,
yeah, there's a lot of code.
You don't know what's
there's
in
a lot
kid's
of code
heart.
And stuff there.
You don't
man.
Know what the right. conditions are on a night to night basis. Sometimes, you know, it can be off the court stuff that
right.
can have a kid distracted any night.
Right.
They're children. We just
They're
talked
children
about
in college,
They're
right.
kids in college. Right. Like, I couldn't barely get dressed consistently in college.
Right.
Like, come on. So looking at Hachimura, I want the best for him and from him. And I think it's going to be very beneficial for him if we can, you know, Thomas Bryant's a restricted free agent. If we can keep him on the team, along with Troy Brown, healthy Bradley Beal, now you've got youth that you can continue to grow and build around for the future.
Sure.
And I'm not mad at that. Not at all.
See, let's see. So let me ask you this. When will the final narrative be written for him? How long does he have before we say, okay, this pick worked, or we have to move on?
It's actually not contingent upon him. It's actually contingent upon Cam. Because remember, these two are not going to be tied together. Here's why. Because Cam's in the division. If Cam went to the Kings, we would not be talking about this.
No, but to be fair, yes, he's in the division.
Mm-hmm.
But being in the division in basketball is not the same as being in the
no,
division.
No, it's not. It means
in,
I'm going to see you four
in,
times a year.
It means four out of 82.
But what I mean is these two stories, due to geographic proximity and division proximity, that they're going to be tied
that.
With
but
each
Daniel
other.
But Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins being in the same division is way different than
Cam
Reddish.
Oh, football's dynamic is different because there's less games played, less opportunity, less sample size.
Right,
to really
so yes, they're in the same division. You're going to see them more times, but it's
but
not.
But to answer the question, what I mean by that is, as you see, that you're going to have to track both stories together.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, Hachimura, how's he doing for the Wizards? How's Cam doing for Atlanta? If Cam comes in and has an all-star rookie season and Hachimura averages 8-4, 8-4-2, you know, and you're like, okay. And then next year it continues to be the same thing, and they're tracking where it's like Cam's just continues to elevate and Hachimura kind of is on a plateau, and this is what you get.
Isn't some of that contingent on the talent around him? Because obviously they're very
sometimes,
young.
But ball
they're
is ball, young. Though.
Sure, but Atlanta is accumulating some good young talent
yes,
that the Wizards have to get back to doing.
Right.
Especially without John's situation knowing
say,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Because obviously they have the talent.
You got
John's
talent,
there
but there's
Brad,
a,
but,
right.
But we're in a period of flux right
yes,
now.
Yes, I agree.
So some of that's going to be contingent on that.
It's really one of those things where if he, for what he lacks statistically, it's going to be an the intangibles that are going to be the difference in this story. What kind of locker room guy is he? Does he make those around him better? Does he know how to play his role on this team? What can he do to contribute on a nightly basis with the big boys? Yeah, he played in Gonzaga, but let's be honest, Gonzaga's schedule is not exactly the hardest schedule.
Oh,
well,
no.
I'm not trashing it.
No, these Jokers played Duke last year.
No. You're talking one game.
I got you.
Okay.
No, I got you.
Okay.
But they play Duke, they play North Carolina, and they play tournament games. So it's not like they're playing.
And
they're not playing the old Georgetown.
Start?
See, this is my
see,
Syracuse.
I was going to say, how does their season start, though?
But they play Duke early. Remember, they beat Duke. They beat Zion and Duke. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'd love to go back. I'll look at the box score.
Later on, I got to pull it up.
The box score, I believe he outplayed Zion that game. He was the best player on the court that game when they
that
played
night.
Duke. Yes.
That
but.
Night. That's fair.
So
I don't want to get in the business or have it be perceived that I'm looking to take pot shots at Hachimura.
No, I don't think
again,
you are.
I have no problem with him. I felt that at that position that we could have gone for a more dynamic selection.
Okay.
But again, I'm not the GM. I'm not the front office guys. I'm not the scouts. So you can kind of take it with a grain of salt. But ultimately, whoever steps on this court with this team, Hachimura, Schofield, these guys have to be ready to contribute, especially considering that this fan base needs guys who are willing to go into the fire. Last year, there were 25 Wizards players on that team that wore that jersey. And you have a fan base that is looking for consistency. And I think that's something that even Shepard said, Tommy Shepard said about what it takes to win is consistency and continuity. And so that's what the fans are looking for. Whatever you're going to do, be consistent, and I can ride with you. If you're all over the road, it's going to be hard for me to keep up.
Just looking at their schedule from last year.
Nothing wrong. Bring it up.
They played Illinois, Big Ten school, Arizona. I think they didn't have a good year last year, but Pac-12 school, Duke, ACC school.
Most of the Pac-12 was trash last year.
Washington, they made the tournament.
Made the tournament, okay.
Okay. Tennessee.
Last year, worth talking about, yes.
And Carolina, out of conference.
Okay.
So,
okay.
To be fair,
that's
good better
comp.
Than a lot of schools play out of conference.
That's good comp.
So, and for the record, in that game, they beat Duke 89-87.
That's a good one.
In Maui, he had 20 points.
Oh, the Maui Invitational.
Yes. 7 of 14 from the field, 7 rebounds.
7? Okay.
So,
okay.
So I'm, 14-7 I'm just saying.
14-7 is good. But okay, so now I've got to give a little pushback.
Okay, go ahead, push.
He's 6'8". Where are we going to put him? The three or the four?
6'8 with a 7'2 wingspan.
So what you going to do? Have him play the defense on three and then try to push four on O? Where are you going to put him?
Probably.
Are you
going to
switch it and
no, I think he can defend the four.
He can defend the four at 6'8".
I mean.
See, this
so,
is. This
so
is,
he's going up against who?
Well, think about in the East, you still. I'll give you somebody. Blake Griffin. What is he going to do against Blake, who's 6'10"?
I mean,
with grown man weight on him, because this is the NBA now. So you're not playing against kids; you're playing against grown men.
I got you.
What you gonna do? What if you put him against a Pascal Siakam? What are you gonna do? 6'8". You playing a four?
How tall is Siakam?
6'9" and with wings the size of man. Come on,
he's a pterodactyl. I know, but
and extremely athletic.
Okay, yes,
extremely.
Okay.
What's he gonna do if you get matched up against a Giannis? Who wants to switch up?
Yeah, but Giannis is playing wherever he wants to play. It's not just. But I hear you.
That's
what
I'm saying is, if you're going to come in, we like to play this thing about positionless basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fun to talk about when you get on the court. No, dude, if you're 7 feet, you're my five. You're not my one.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
You're 6'3". You're playing the one.
Right.
I'm not putting you at the four.
I got you.
You know. So it's just
those are things that Scott Brooks will figure out. But you know what?
I'm looking forward
to it.
He's
going to put the best players out there, and yep. I think he'll be one of the guys. I don't know if he starts right away, depending on who comes back and what have you, and all that stuff too.
If there's
Jabari Parker comes back, you know, maybe he's in that 3-4 spot, and then he's coming off the bench. There's a little bit less pressure on him, whatever,
right.
We'll see.
I want him to be in the least pressurized position at all. I always want to protect rookies because I feel it's unfair to throw them into the fire too soon unless they've been built, you know, for that. And I'm not necessarily going to say that he's not, but I haven't seen anything that says, hey, throw him out there to the Wolves day one. Like, don't do that to the kid.
Okay.
Unless he's earned it.
Gotcha. Admiral Schofield.
He's a dog. He's a beast.
You like him?
I like him. I like Admiral Schofield for a couple reasons. First of all, he played at Tennessee. I like guys.
Where are you from?
I was born in Knoxville. Hey,
okay.
You know, things happen. Yes.
Okay.
SoCal, but yeah. Yeah, I was born in Tennessee. And I played on Thompson Bowling Arena before. Played on that court. It's a beautiful place. And it's one of those environments for basketball. When you play at a school in basketball that's known for football.
Sure.
It's a tough road to walk.
Right.
And so the fact that Tennessee, through all the years that they've had, you know, millions of different coaches. I remember one of my favorite old UT coaches was Wade Houston back in he and I.
Sure.
Oh, man. Whew. Tennessee in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
What? You want to talk about?
Sure.
Crazy. And then equally on the women's side, when they're when you talk basketball, you're like,
yeah.
Lady Vols? Oh,
right.
The dudes they're playing?
Right.
So it's interesting that, you know, and wonderful that Coach Barnes has really been able to put a good program together. And to Schofield's benefit, first 2 years he was with Barnes.
They clashed.
They were not happy.
They didn't get along.
But it takes time and it takes maturation. And I think that's actually more of an NBA dynamic, more so in college.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of collegiate dudes, if they don't like the coach or something,
I'm leaving. I'm
leaving. I'm out. I'm
yep.
transferring.
Right.
Well, he stuck it out
yep.
and grew as a man. And that is something.
Grew as a basketball player,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Went from a guy that did not shoot a lot of threes early in his career. Now he can make a three.
And he likes to dunk on people.
Yes.
Aggressively. Very Zion-esque.
So yeah, I kind of said this to you before. When I see some of the highlights, it's like a little, it's like a, not a poor man's Zion.
No,
I'm not
mean.
Trying to.
I know.
But the way he
Zion
goes
part
up
B.
on somebody, because he's not a thin
he's
dude.
He's not thin. No, he's husky. He can play DN too.
Right.
Oh yeah, maybe an outside linebacker.
Right.
Yeah, quick off the feet.
So
yeah, got a little hump.
I like that, and great name by the way. He's going to be on the all-name team.
The Admiral. See, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to have, like, you got to either have a cool nickname or a cool real name. And I don't like nicknames that are just like your first and last initial. That's lazy.
What's your nickname when you got a cool first name already?
You don't have one. That's the whole point. You know what I'm saying?
You don't need one. Right.
Now, when your name is Billy Johnson, you got to hit him with white shoes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
When your name is Gary Carter, you got to be Skip.
You got to throw a little something in there, you know? So I'll give Admiral Schofield, you know, all the accolades that he deserves with a cool name. Like, that's awesome. Admiral.
Admiral. It's a great name.
Man.
We'll see. That could work out very well for
them. I want them both to ball out of control. Honest to gosh, I want them both to just have fun. Enjoy the ride and welcome to the NBA.
Sure. Well, we've been talking for a little bit about Wizards.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Here we're going to shift gears.
I don't think we need to. I mean, this has been a good conversation.
We can shift gears.
Real quick, this is one of the things we talked about before we had our guy, Sam Panayotovich.
Ooh, Sammy P.
On, and we asked him, we were talking about the NBA Rookie of the Year odds.
Oh, man.
And one of the questions, would you take Zion or the field to win? And his point was, you take the field because you'd rather have 59 other guys. And could be obviously undrafted.
That's a betting
guys
man's
too.
Odds. Yeah, I'm taking a basketball odds. Okay, basketball odds, okay. Or it's Zion's until further notice.
Okay,
and I mean, and that's no disrespect to the other kids. Great, 60 kids taken yesterday.
Okay,
but yeah, until
give me your non-Zion pick then, real quick.
My non-Zion pick. Oh man, DeAndre Hunter could be great down in Atlanta. Ja is definitely going to be a front runner in Memphis.
They're going to be fun to watch, by the way.
Real fun. Jaren Jackson down there.
And Brandon Clark, the other kid from Gonzaga, they could be good.
Yeah.
I'm going Kobe White. I think Kobe White is your dark horse.
I don't even consider him dark. Like, as much as I snapped on the show yesterday, because I was just mad that we didn't get him at 9, I was like, Kobe, I hate you because we didn't get you.
Right.
But no, I don't consider him a dark horse. He's going to a team that has Zach LaVine and Otto Porter, Markkanen, and some other great talented people up there that just need someone to kind of tie a rope around everybody and get them lined up. And I think Kobe brings a ton of energy, a great basketball IQ. And at the end of the day, he's fun. He's fun. You see that presser he had yesterday?
And I love his reaction to his former North Carolina teammate getting drafted. And what an awesome, cool reaction. And that's cool. That's what you want to see.
Yeah. That's what I will. You know what? As a matter of fact, I will say across the board, I haven't seen a more familial class than the 2019 class. I haven't seen that in a long time. These kids actually like each other.
Now, does that bug you?
We'll see. You know how I feel about the competitive nature. Like, don't play buddy-buddy ball. You know, I don't want to see that. Oh, you can go for 40 tonight. I'll go for 30. We'll both be in the All-Star game.
Right, I'm
not for that. I want to see, you know, extremely competitive professional basketball at the highest level.
Okay.
But at this moment, and I would dare say, in their last seconds of being collegiate players, it's good to see them exit that phase of life with a smile and grace. And now, time to get down to business.
Yeah. So we will see. We'll end on this. Anyone head scratching, anything that made you wonder from the draft? Bol Bol going late?
Bol Bol going late was a bit of a head scratcher. Nasir Little going a little bit later was a head scratcher.
Good situation for him, though, going to Portland.
Yeah, no, he needed to.
He could do very well there.
Portland's a really good situation for Little out there. Jackson Hayes is a bit of a conundrum because him transferring, him growing an entire foot in such a short time.
Sure.
I remember when I was growing up, and even though I didn't jump up, you know, an entire foot in like a year and a half, I still remember how I felt a little awkward at times, still learning my body, still learning the parameters of how to, you know, like your foot grows. Like there was a time from the age I was 10 to the time I was 15, my shoe size grew every year.
Right.
It was miserable. So I can only imagine the adjustments that he's had to make.
Sure.
So now he goes from playing point guard to being a five man. And a five man in the East, and he's got some real matchups he's going to have to deal with. So,
where is he?
Jackson's within.
You need New Orleans with.
No. Remember that was a Trey.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, no. Make sure that Jackson should be down in Atlanta. Atlanta. Well, look at me sound like I'm down in Atlanta. Whenever you go to Atlanta, it's like you don't say Atlanta. You go Atlanta. Seriously, you been there? When was the last time you did that? Don't look at me like that. I'm serious.
But
Atlanta.
They.
Came in a row. Shout it.
So that's the one that you were head scratch. I was trying to figure out what Cleveland's doing, to be honest.
I don't know.
They have Colin Sexton last year. Then you dropped Darius Garland.
So what are you going to do? Run small? What are you going to do? Like be a younger version of the Rockets with a double guard back?
Now,
double point.
The
back?
Good thing is they've got a hell of an offensive coach in John Beilein.
Yeah.
So he knows what the hell he's doing. And so, I mean, is this an accumulation? You just get the best guys? Then, but no other real head scratchers, I guess. So.
I take that back. You're right. They did not get Jackson. So
I was gonna say,
no. It was because they had done the pick, and it wasn't their pick.
Yeah, it was the Pelicans.
Right. So he's down with the Pelicans.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
But still, I didn't find him at that slot at eight. I didn't see that as a wide.
But you've got an uber athletic big who can run the floor in Jackson Hayes.
Okay.
Along with that other guy. What's the guy's name? They drafted Zion. Who's that dude? I'm telling you right now, that'll be a fun
Atlantis?
Team to watch too. Lonzo Ball. Is going to have a lot
is
of.
Is Lonzo actually going to even suit up for the Pelicans? Are they going to find a way to put him in a box and move
see,
him
now,
somewhere else?
You know better. You know better.
I'm being so petty.
He can play. He can pass the ball. He's got great court vision. He can pass. And when you've got Drew Holiday, you got Zion, you got Jackson Hayes, you got the makings of something very good down there. I'm telling you, Lonzo is going to be a factor there.
Didn't Nikhil Alexander Walker make it down
went there
to
too.
New Orleans?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so that's the kid who actually surprised me. Like, that's a good place for him to land.
Real
down
good
New
place.
Orleans.
Yeah,
I'm very happy with that move because now you've given Zion something that he had at Duke. Two other kids to come in with him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically an extension of their collegiate career. It's like, all right, you had your freshman year. Now here's your sophomore year. And they'll just pay you a lot of money and you can be in New Orleans and eat beignets all day long.
And
po' boys. So how much weight? What's the over-under on 100 pounds between everybody?
Between everybody, okay.
Between
that's
the entire, yeah.
Well,
between
Jackson Hayes needs to eat some.
Yes, he does.
So that's actually a good place for him. Get Brian Mitchell, get some of that Brian Mitchell gumbo. Stick to those ribs,
gumbo,
and he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. I agree. You know what? Overall, if I had to grade the Wizards draft.
Yeah, give me a quick grade before we leave.
I'll give him a B. That's
fair.
An A would have, for my personal choice, would have been Reddish. I would have made that an A because it would have been dynamic. As I said, you wouldn't have to justify and explain to me why he's a good player because I can already tell you why. But I'll give Hachimura the benefit of the doubt, and I'm looking forward to
watching.
There are
no guarantees in life, though.
Right, none
guarantees. There are no guarantees
that
Cam Reddish is going to be a superstar either. We all think he was. We all bought into the high school hype and all everything.
Well,
and
if that's the case, Zion ain't that either.
He checks all the boxes. You're right.
He checks
all the boxes. But you know what? I'm not going. I'm not going Chauncey Billups. I'm not going to compare the kid to.
Kawhi. No. Thank you for doing that because that's the other thing that's unfair to any of these players. I know we like to have comparison analysis.
Yeah, because it's
because it makes it tangible.
Yes.
You can see like
right,
oh I've
exactly
seen that before.
Oh right.
But I don't want to put that pressure on the players. I don't want to say he's the next that. That's not fair for them
but
to live
is
up
it
to
different from comparing him to this to say he's the next that?
Yes,
I think, I think they're two different things.
Yes, I totally think it's different. There's a difference between comparing someone and crowning them, and I hate to use crown as the—
You want to crown him?
You want to crown him as the next step?
Crown him.
Look, Trae Young had to go through that last year with being compared to Steph Curry.
Sure.
It's not fair to either one of them.
Right.
Let the kids be who they are, but it's nice to compare someone, eyeball test. If you see something like we compared Zion to Larry Johnson, but I wouldn't say he's the next Larry Johnson. We compared Zion to Charles Barkley, Sean Kemp, but I'm not going to say he's the next any of those things.
Sure.
And, of course, the hype and the unique talent that he is, we compared him to LeBron.
Sure.
But he definitely ain't LeBron.
He's not LeBron.
Totally different. He's so not LeBron, he decided to wear a white suit, and I'm going to take the tie off. That's different.
Yeah, look good. All the suits were good. Dude. I tell you what, Rui's suit game on the day of the presser in D.C. was sharp.
Oh yeah,
son.
He knew what's up. You gonna come dressed for success here?
Yeah,
DC's
man.
Business. Don't come half step.
All
with them
those
suits,
ones.
Man.
My
Nobody
favorite
was crazy.
Tyler Hero with the one. He said his drip game was the best of all the suits last
Who
night.
Who showed up in the Jedi attire?
I don't know that, but Bol Bol had
that
the
Garland?
Spider.
I think Garland. Was
oh,
that,
did
was
he?
That Merrick Garland who looked like Luke Skywalker?
Did you say Merrick Garland? You mean Darius Garland?
Lord,
you mean the Supreme Court? The guy that could have been on
right,
the Supreme
right,
Court?
Right. The guy who was supposed to be on the Supreme Court.
Wait a minute.
Sorry. All the Garlands in D.C.
that's a whole different conversation.
That's
a different podcast, man.
Whole different situation. That's when you get the bass in your voice. And Merrick Garland should have been. No. But, yeah, I think it might have been Darius Garland who had on, like, this Luke Skywalker looking like he's in the Jedi. Seriously.
Oh, okay.
I was like, where?
And then Bol Bol had the spider web thing.
So, if you're a big guy.
Okay. We said we're gonna go like 10 minutes. Go, all right, this is the last one. Go.
All right, if you're a big guy, you have to be more subdued with your fashion statements. That's why, like at 6'5", I don't wear crazy patterns because they look even worse. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's not worse. It's just there's a lot of it,
which makes it worse. Okay. It's like shoes. Certain shoe designs look good on small feet. You put them on Shaq, and you're like,
oh my god, yeah.
Good god, is that a speedboat coming down the street?
Right.
So yeah, I will give this entire class A-.
Okay.
For fashion.
Yeah.
A-. It looks better than the early 2000s. Nothing's worse than that.
Yeah.
Nothing is worse than the early 2000s.
I agree with that.
Drapes and bed sheets. That you guys with 12 buttons down the front.
12, 13, 14 buttons.
Oh, my gosh.
Suits. Come on.
Pants that were like parachute pants. Right. You know, the early Steve Harvey template. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Never
right.
catch me in that. Never. Tapered to the
there's
day
a,
I die.
There's a picture somewhere.
Somewhere. You'll never find it.
I'm sure I will.
It's pre-gram.
Exactly.
Pre-book. It's pre-Facebook.
Thank goodness,
it's by in
the
an
way.
Old phone I have stashed somewhere, and like you'll never find it.
My kids see my damn wedding pictures and old pictures of me, and they just laugh. They think it's the funniest thing in the world.
It probably
and I,
is.
And I think, it is. I think to myself, what a wonderful world that I lived in
before Twitter,
before Instagram,
everything
before Facebook,
the iPhone
before
makes
all that
me so happy.
Because it would have been, it would not be a good
we
thing
we wouldn't be
for
talking
me.
To each other if
no.
there were pictures of
I'd
my
be,
fashion statements
no, it wouldn't
before
be good.
Then.
It wouldn't be good. We'll
talk about the old Gumby haircut I had, too.
And I had big glasses. Anyway.
You did the big glasses?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. I was wearing teal suits back then, too.
Really?
Yeah, it happened every once in a while. Well, like I said, it, 90s fashion.
It wouldn't be a DC
funny.
Sports Live podcast without us branching off into something else besides sports. And you know what? Mission accomplished.
End of the ravine we go.
So let's wrap this up for Wes. I'm Gary. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the DC Sports Live podcast brought to you by Marlowe Furniture, Washington's home team since 1955.